This Fab FM podcast is proudly brought to you by Bendigo Bank, Port Douglas and Mosman, offering a full range of competitive banking products and technology you'd expect from a big bank with the personal service and care you'd expect from us. Drop into your nearest branch at Port Village Shopping Centre or Front Street Mosman. Bendigo Bank, the better big bank.
There's two ways to provide feedback. The first is via a survey. And there's an online survey and also a postcard, which you can do the survey online. And the second way that you can provide feedback, and we'd encourage people to do both, is to send us a submission, and that can be posted or emailed. And as I said, you can do both. With the submissions, I'm going to categorise them into people who would prefer a two-ferry solution, people who would prefer a bridge solution, and other. And that's a bit hard for you to read, but essentially it'd be like TripAdvisor. I'll pull out a sort of a statement in it that kind of sums up what the comment's about. And those submissions will be provided to councillors as part of the consultation report. They'll be compiled, all of them will be compiled. They will be de-identified and into one report, and that report will be made public so everybody can read submissions. Comments published in full, de-identified, categorised, and I may see if I can sort of pull together a summary for the different reasons that people might prefer a two-ferry service or whether they might prefer a bridge option. Compass Research is doing what we call the statistical survey. So we might get 18,000 residents, and what Compass Research will tell us is this is the proportion that wanted option A and this is the proportion that wanted option B. And because we're collecting people's, at least the people that are either residents or ratepayers, we can then break it down to whether they live north of the river or whether they live elsewhere in the Shire. So that information will be provided to councillors. And again, that report from Compass Research will be made public. So the timing is, we'd like all survey responses back by October 26, as well as submissions. So that's when consultation closes. And what the timing that we're working towards at the moment, there's a workshop scheduled for councillors on November 17, and we'd like the councillors to have, for that workshop, the Compass Research report and the report of all of the comments compiled into one. So lots of reading for the councillors for that. The councillors may say, oh, look, we'd like some more breakdown or whatever, so we may do that. But what we're hoping to do is to provide those reports publicly on the 1st of December. And then on December 11, the agenda will be published for the 15th of December meeting. So that's the timing that we're working on at the moment.
The preferred two-ferry option was to provide a new 36-vehicle ferry to run all year round in position of the current ferry, and the existing current 27-car ferry would be a standby ferry for peak periods to get the peaking loads during holiday times. The 36-car ferry would be 60 to 80% solar powered, the remaining being on diesel for backup when there's no sun or during the evenings when the sun is low. The approvals required for this, we need approvals for obviously a new road for the second ferry site, put in new barge ramps for the second ferry and a new channel for the second ferry to go through. So showing where they will be. The new 36-car ferry will go across the existing channel. A new road will be built round to a second ramp, which will provide for the 27-car ferry, which will go across. They will both combine onto a large ramp on the northern side, where they would be side by side, not interfering with each other, because you've got two sets of cables going across. Obviously, we're going to need new mooring piles for tying up the ferry during high-flow river events and when it's not in use. So we need approvals for roads, approvals to build a ramp, increase the northern bank ramp. Because it's a 36-car ferry, not a 27-car ferry, the existing ramp would also be increased in size. So that's the changes that are required to be done. And that will then, if that process goes ahead, we'll then go through the design and get all that sorted and then go through the approval process. That's the preferred two ferry option. Now I'll pass over to Scott to discuss the bridge.
Thanks, Colin. My name's Scott Hahn. I'm the manager of the project office. I build most of council's big or complicated infrastructure at the moment. So I'm just going to explain to you a bridge solution. So I hear a lot of comments, just build a bridge. It's a pretty throwaway statement somewhat, but there's no details about that. And that's one of the things that this report's tried to come to give some details about. We didn't know if it was going to be a $10 million bridge or a $100 million bridge. We didn't know where it was going to be. So we took a few of these things and tried to put some numbers to it and tried to put some locations to it. Where is it going to be? Obviously across the river, but down at the mouth, all the way up at the Daintree Village. What type of bridge? I'm an engineer. I work with the infrastructure department. A lot of that was driven by how much maintenance is it going to have? Is it going to be concrete? Is it going to be steel? Is it going to be timber? How big is it going to be? One lane for cars, two lanes for cars, pedestrian access, and how much is all that going to cost? So we went through a few options there, and these are not definitive. They're just a locality. They could be potentially maybe a few hundred metres up or downstream of these locations, but when we sat down and had a think about it, these are the most likely ones. So I'll just go through those in a bit of detail. Obviously, the most logical place to put a bridge is where there's a ferry. There's already a road to and from the ferry. Disadvantage of it is it's a large expanse of the river. We could go outside of the area and look to where some existing road infrastructure is. There's road infrastructure pretty much up to the southern side. We could try and put it on the main road where the main road up to the village comes close to the river. But again, the disadvantage of that is there's no road infrastructure necessarily connecting that to it. And the third particular one was, well, you know, maybe there's some benefits of putting it up at the village. Maybe there isn't. And we looked at that. But again, what road infrastructure is there on the northern side? So you can see the general approach that was taken. Those are not the definitive answers. Perhaps if a bridge ever goes ahead, then that mightn't be the solution. You look at something like that and go, well, that solution have got similar pros, probably similar cons as well. So we made some assumptions about a bridge. It's what engineers do. It's got two traffic lanes, pretty standard. It's got a pedestrian and bike lane. Makes it a 13-metre wide bridge. It's a concrete bridge, or to a Department of Transport and Main Road style standard bridge. You probably drove over one getting here. You certainly drive over one if you go over the South Mossman up South Mossman River going to Mossman. Standard type of bridge these days. It's the technology that's pretty standard. We're able to build them easily. The materials and labour is readily available. So that seemed to us to be the most logical, most likely bridge type. Again, we talked about thinking about the particular benefits to council. We don't like coming and building bridges. You can see they're expensive. So we wanted to get them durable. And we all know living in this environment, that's difficult. So we looked for a 100-year design life. We didn't look at the hydraulics or the hydrology of the river. It changes, obviously, between the mouth and the Daintree Village. But we said, look, a nominal 4 metre above median river level would be a reasonable level to put a bridge. A, because we don't think it'd be overtopped very often. B, most watercraft would be able to get past it. It's a compromise. We looked to do minimum road upgrades. So if a bridge goes in at the ferry, for example, we're not proposing that as part of this pricing arrangement that we would upgrade the road from the main highway, Mossman-Daintree Road, to the ferry. It's still going to go underwater. That's going to cost money. And we look to have minimum land purchases for all the obvious reasons that that brings. So what does a bridge look like? Potentially it looks like this. This is the Bloomfield Bridge. It's two lanes. Has a pedestrian walkway on one side, it's made out of concrete and it spans. It's quite an efficient sort of style of bridge. It's efficient in price, it's efficient in technology and structurally. From there, we're able to determine likely pricing. So for comparison reasons, we've kept a single ferry, and you'll see this throughout in the financials a bit more. The capital cost for a single ferry is obviously zero. We don't have to do anything. The two-ferry solution has land-based infrastructure expected to cost $2.8 million. New barge ramps, new pylons, new roads. With a bridge, the bridge costs between those four solutions are between $53 and $75 million. Now, I would note the $75 million is probably the outlier. Three of the four solutions were between $53 and $59. We took an average, and we took a conservative average and said, look, $60 million, probably what it's going to be worth. It's not 10, it's not 100, it's about 60. In that $60 million, given the level of development of a bridge, how far we've gone along on the journey, is there's a 40% contingency number on that. There's lots of unknowns. But we've allowed some money in that to cover those unknowns. So I'm going to pass it back to Colin, and he's going to talk about some of the financial components of that.
So talking about some of the financials, first of all, about the operating revenue for the ferry or bridge options. So currently, the forecast revenue from the single ferry option is to bring in $1.15 million of revenue to the council to add into the general running of the council. If we go to the two-ferry option, keeping everything the same as what it is now, given the additional costs of the second ferry, that reduces down to $180,000. So it's a little bit less revenue into the council. If we increase the ticket prices, we can bring that revenue back up to the 1.18 or 1.15 that we're making now by an increase in ticket prices. And we're talking about increasing in visitor ticket prices. So your cars that pay the $30-odd dollars to go across now, return prices, the buses, the machinery. We're not talking about the concession card holders. We're not talking about Douglas cards and that sort of thing. Looking at a bridge, if this was a 100% grant-funded bridge, so that's what we're looking at. We're not looking at cost of finance, just 100% grant-funded bridge. The cost of maintaining the bridge, million revenue. We talked about coming back to that revenue and some of the options we could do to obtain it. So in the ticketing, current prices for a single ferry, gives you an idea of where we sit at the moment. $18, this is vehicle, cars and utes pricing. $18 one way, $31 return. If we go with a two-car ferry, keeping the same ticket prices, the other way we can obtain getting that revenue back is an additional 3% increase in people's general rates. That's on top of any other rate rises required for council. That's an initial 3% just to cover the loss in revenue. Other option for two ferries is we just increase the ticket prices and then there's no effect on residents' rates. For a bridge with no toll, if we have no toll and have free, everything travels free across it, we'd need to increase general rates by 6% to cover the shortfall in that $1.15 million. Or the other option for a bridge is put a toll on of $20 return. Again, this we're talking about visitor cars, not people, not residents who get concession cards now. They will still be the same as what they are, as what the modelling is based on. And with the $20 ticket, there'll be no increase in general rates. So we tried to give you a few examples. There's obviously multiple different scenarios we could look at, but these are just some basics to look at, give you an idea of what it would mean.